Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
Everybody shout unity. Unity is important. Today we see a lot of disunity going on in the world. You see America be split down right in the middle. And you see that we are called to bring unity to the world. We are anointed to bring unity to the world. Nelson Mandela said that hate is a learned behavior, and I believe that. Because anytime you put a black baby and a white baby in a room, they'll play and they'll share toys. Nelson Mandela also said that love is more easy to teach and comes more naturally because it's God. And I'm here to tell you today that we believe in unity at this church, and we are abolishing and doing our best to abolish and hit in the head this crazy rip and divide that has happened. Because racism is not like it's just like surfaced somewhere. It has been hidden and put under the carpet and has raised its ugly head. But we, of course, had a big old love riot, and we are the church in St. Louis that is the most unified. Come on, somebody ought to shout amen. And that's what we're here to do today. I want us to talk about what God has called us and how He's called us to live, and we're going to do it in Matthew 5. Matthew 5, you know, if you've been in the church long at all, that this is the Beatitudes, and the attitudes that ought to be. In verse 22, it says, "But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of judgment." Notice this is red. This is Jesus speaking. "And whoever says," everybody shout, "says," "says to his brother, Reka," if you look that up, it means empty one, worthless one, "shall be in danger of counsel. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." Now, words are containers. This is a container. It's a clean container. It's a new container. It's not been defiled at all yet. But this thing could hold anything. We could put Captain Crunch in it, which is a blessing. You got to make sure the mix is right, though, because you can actually rip open the roof of your mouth. Come on, it says. You got to have enough milk. The milk ratio has to be perfect with Captain Crunch. You can put Fruit Loops in it. You can put flour in it. You can put sugar in it. You can put crack cocaine in it. This is a container. It is open to contain whatever. You and I, when we're born again and receive Jesus, we are an empty container, and now we can either fill ourselves up with the world, which is very easy to do, everybody does that, or we can fill ourselves up with the Word. Now, if we're Word-ruled, we say stuff like, "Let the weak say, I'm strong." If we're world-ruled, we say stuff like, "I don't know what's happening to me. The world's in a bad place." I mean, it seems like the older I get, the more my memory goes away. I went down to pull up my socks, and it was my legs. My back goes out more than me. I'm having old-timer's disease. This is what the world says, but people in the Word say, "Let the weak say I'm strong. The memory of the righteous is blessed. With long life He will satisfy me and show me His salvation. Sickness and disease will be far from me. I'm called. I'm equipped. I'm anointed. I'm qualified. I'm on divine assignment to make an impact in the world, but I am in the world, but I am not of the world." Come on, somebody ought to shout amen today. So that's why the Bible said, hey, he who calls his brother Reka, that you're in judgment, you worthless one. Now let's talk about words with passion. How many of you have ever had people say stupid stuff to you and you can't really remember it, but it didn't really matter, but you're pretty sure people said stupid stuff to you yesterday? Just stupid stuff. But how many of y'all can remember something somebody said to you over 10 years ago or 20 years ago, and they said it with passion, and they said, "You're just like your mama. You're just like your daddy. You're a bad student. You did something." They said something with passion. They called you in one fashion or another a fool, and they were important to you, so it actually still plays a little bit in your mind. Raise your hand if that's you today. It should be all of us. That's why we have to be careful, because the world said, say this, "Sticks and stones may," but how many of y'all know that is an erroneous statement? Words hurt you. Words give life, or words kill. That's why the Bible said we will be judged by every idle word that we say. In other words, if you are not really cautious, you fill your container with problems and you focus on the bad behavior and you keep calling that person that, they will continue to manifest that behavior. So if you're a note taker, write this down. You get what you brag on. You get what you brag on. I'm all about speaking words of life to people. So my daughter, I don't know where she was in the lineup today because I preached here last night, then I went to Earth City and preached. They drove me here, and I'm going to preach. They're going to drive me back to Earth City. I'm going to preach. They're going to drive me here, and I'm going to preach. They're going to drive me back to Earth City. I'm going to preach. They're going to drive me back here, and I'm going to preach. And then I got a 2 o'clock launch meeting about the Ferguson campus. So I'm a little busy, okay? But she was up here on the stage, but I actually drove her here when nobody was here because this morning, about 30 minutes before she needed to leave, she woke me up. I don't wake her up for church. She wakes me up because she loves the church. She was born in the church. If we ever wanted to ground her, it really didn't affect her unless we said, you're grounded from church. Come on. Because she loved church. And so I bragged on her today on my Facebook, and I said, listen, she was doing what girls do in the car. I said, hey, I'm going to do a Facebook Live. She said, oh, God, Dad, not now. And I said, no, really, I want people to see you. I wanted to see what a 14-year-old supercharged mega star looks like in the kingdom of God, not in the world. Now, the world's already made pulls for her. Roma Downey and Mark, they own most of Hollywood. Over 80% of the TV that you watch is owned by them. And so they want her on those shows. But I watched Katy Perry grow up in our house a lot of times because when they didn't have any money, they lived with us oftentimes. And we would go down to Olive Garden in South County, and there little Katy is and on the stage with my dad. And the world made a call for Katy, and she took it. And we're still friends. We love her. She sends Nicole Ashton pictures and all this stuff. But I'm telling you that the world will drain you. So I've trained her. The world's not the answer, and so God saves his best for the church. Come on, somebody. Somebody ought to say amen to this. So my point is that what I do with Ashton, sure, she has some bad behavior, but I don't go public with it. Sure, there's things that she does or I do or you do that I don't like, but I don't go public with it because we rebuke or correct in private, but we praise in public because if I say what I like about her and I brag on her right now, she's going to live up to that expectation. See what I'm saying? So that's why the Bible said, be careful what you say. Don't allow those idle words to speak damnation over your future. But that's why you have to recalibrate and go to church. That's why the Bible said, forsake not the assemblies of yourself together, and when the evil day approaches, do all the more. It's more evil now than ever. The world is more messed up now than ever. So the world, you say, well, I wish we could make a difference. We can. And the difference starts with us. When you are full of love and you are full of faith and you're full of positive words, then you don't just walk around with a sign. And I'm not against people holding signs and demonstrating, because that's what America was founded on. I'm not against people picketing. I'm not even against people going crazy and almost causing a love riot. But what I am against is it seems to be very sporadic. The answer is not just holding up a flag saying Black Lives Matter, because it does. Blue Lives Matter, Red Lives Matter, All Lives Matter. But this is sporadic. These are behaviors that just happen. So no real modification happens long term. I'm all for it. But I'm saying when you put up a banner called the local church, and we're getting ready to do that in Ferguson, Florida, we're actually putting a stake in the ground that is not sporadic. It's the difference between a lifestyle change and a diet. People that go on diets don't stay with it, hence the first three words, die. Come on, somebody. But when you make a lifestyle change, your whole life changed. So we're going to make a lifestyle change, and we are, by Gennaro and all of our teams, by white people sitting next to black people and Latino people marrying Asian people. Come on, somebody. And we're all together. It's not a melting pot, but a stew. Can I get an amen? And we are going to change this city, and then we're going to go for the region. Come on, somebody help me. And then we're going to go for the world because we are salt and light, and we're supposed to proclaim Jesus loves everybody. He didn't die for black people, white people, yellow people. He said there is no Jew, there is no Greek, there is no male, there is no female. We are all blood-bought children of the Most High God, and if you cut any of us, beneath this little bitty micro skin is blood, and that blood is red, and it represents the blood of Jesus that bled and died on the cross for us 2,000 years ago, and our life is not our own. We are containers of the Most High God. Don't give me a Tiger Woods golf clap. I'm talking right now about changing the world. I'm talking about building a city. I'm talking about killing racism once and for all before Jesus comes back. It doesn't matter if you're black. It doesn't matter if you're white. It doesn't matter if you're a woman preacher, a Mexican preacher, a Spanish preacher, a Latin preacher. Come on, somebody ought to say amen to this. Who you are. are is a blood-bought son and daughter of the Most High God. Thank you. I'll try not to yell so much. But we got to be careful and realize that we are anointed to do big things. Big things. Ephesians 4, verse 1. It says, therefore I, a prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you, talking to you guys, to walk worthy of the calling. Everybody shout, I'm called. Which you were called, with lowliness, with gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring, doesn't mean we can totally do it, but endeavoring to keep the unity and the spirit of the bond of the peace. Do within your power to be the bigger person in the conversation. You don't always have to respond to what somebody says. They open up their container and they just pour a bunch of junk on you. Blah. You don't have to respond to that. You might have to go. Sometimes I speak before I think. Sometimes when I'm speaking, like in an argument or something, I'm as surprised as they are with what I just said. I mean, I didn't even think about it. I didn't process it. I just said it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, oh, I'm surprised. But when we get full of the Word, all of a sudden the Bible says the Holy Spirit will constrain us. Because that thing that you said that you remember that those people said to you that hurt you and keep going on your mind, do you want to continue that cycle and that behavior with other people that you love? Do you want to affect your kids? And I'm not saying that we don't have constructive criticism. I'm not saying that we don't have hard conversations. But they are calculated, they are diplomatic, and they're held together with the unity of peace. Knowing that what we say about people affects them forever. And I want us at this church to make sure we're a church that we do not put certain people all in one bag. Like, it hurts my feelings when people talk about millennials. Older people talk about millennials. Millennials are lazy. Millennials are this. Millennials are that. And I've said, hang on a minute. If it were not for millennials, you would not have any apps on your phone. If it were not for millennials, you would not have Facebook. Come on, somebody. So don't curse this thing that you call millennials. They're sitting there, and they're not necessarily cursing you because you made sliced bread, that you invented the Ford. Come on, somebody. So we shouldn't throw all people. Yes, some millennials are lazy, but I met a lot of baby boomers that are lazy. So don't throw a bunch of people in one big pot. Let's be people who say, I'm going to, within all of my power, try to keep unity, stay away from conversations that are blanket conversations to throw everybody in one area. That's one of the reasons why this church doesn't say Assemblies of God. It doesn't say Baptist. It doesn't say Catholic. It doesn't say Lutheran. One reason is none of those organizations would have me. Come on, somebody. So now they want me because they all are like, hey, we want you to join us now that we became a big church, and they would get a percentage of the income. And I'm like, hey, if you didn't like us when we were little, you would hate us when we're big. And so we didn't allow the labels to limit us. But I wouldn't have taken it for real anyway, because I don't want a Baptist church, a Catholic church, a Lutheran church. I want a blood-bought church that doesn't point the finger at people this way and say, you got to look this way, you got to be this way, you got to think this way. Somebody ought to help me right now. I want a church like Jesus said, hey, listen, he without sin cast the first stone. Come here, you prodigal son. I want to love you. Now, as a pastor, I want to tell you the truth. I tell my daughter the truth. I tell my kids the truth. And I want to tell you the truth. I'm proud of you that you're here today. But I think you could up your game a little bit when it comes to the faithfulness of the Lord. And make sure that you're raising your kids in the admonition of the Lord. Because it's what really allows you to do the work of God. Now, something I know about you, and how many of y'all have never been to lunch with me? Raise your hand if you've never, you've never been to lunch with me, okay? So look around. Let's do it again. Look around. So it's pretty much everybody, right? Because first of all, I eat lunch when I'm working because there's a lot of work. But it's not that I don't want to go to lunch with you. There's 18,000 people that go to this church. And so I can't go to lunch with everybody. But one thing I know about you is that you love the Lord or you wouldn't be here. One thing I'm pretty sure I know about you is somebody in your family tree was praying for you, and you know who they are. I asked this question a while ago at the first service this morning. I said, how many of y'all had a mom or a grandma or somebody that you pray that prayed for you and you watched them live godly, and that's the reason why you're here today? Even though you did some stupid stuff, they really prayed for you. Come on, raise your hand if that's you. Okay, so look around again. So we're voting, everybody. How many of y'all wish the person next to you had not raised their hand? Let's see that. Okay, so what I'm saying is this. You're doing the same thing right now. You're serving God. You're going to church even when you don't feel like it. You're going to church when you're not even quite right with God. But you're going, you know what? For the sake of the kids, to preserve the bond of peace, I know that my mom was right or my dad was right, and I'm going to do my best to do right. And so even if your adult children aren't following you, let me tell you, I watch this happen all the time. If you do what's right long enough, your kids and your grandkids will follow you. They will know, hey, you know what? Mama, because you're going to get older. You're going to start doing these things that I get here. Anybody knows these things right here? Okay, so you're going to get those, and you get Botox, and I do, and then 1 week you look kind of weird. You're like, hi, but then it levels out. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about here? So I do what I can, but I'm getting older. But when I get older, I want to have people behind me, not only my natural kids and biological kids. I want sons and the daughters of faith who say, you know what? America might be divided, and people might be saying it doesn't take all this, and you shouldn't go to church, and there are many ways to God, but somebody's got to continue with the faith to let people know there is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. Hell is real. Hell is long, and you don't want nothing to do with it. But heaven is real, and heaven is forever, and your job and my job is to not get a bigger house, not have a bigger car. Come on, somebody. And I'm all for you having that, but keep your priorities towards Jesus. Keep your priorities towards God. How long has it been since you went in a room and said, God, I'm going to turn this worship music on, and I'm just going to pray. God, I'm going to pray for lost people. That's how this church was built. When we had a little church in Fenton, I didn't have any money, and I only had a few people, and I said, God, here I am, use me. God, I want to help people. It hurts me when I go to Quick Trip or Cracker Barrel, and I see people that don't even know who I am. And it's not that I don't want them to know me. It's that I know I haven't done my job right when the people have no clue who I am. So God, give us money to advertise. God, put me on billboards. God, use me. And somehow God started giving me opportunities, and I started loving people for who they are right then. And I said, I'll catch the fish, but I don't have to clean them. And I'll allow the Holy Spirit to clean them. And the church started growing. And I'm just asking you today, will you help me help people? Will you pray this week and say, God, take me into my business and allow me to somehow witness to people? Don't allow me to look at my friends and let them go to hell. Let me go to gym and wear some faith church gear so people say, hey, because people make dumb decisions based on the biggest dumb decision you can make, which is not going to church. That's the dumbest decision ever. This week I went to jail to visit a guy, and I went to see him because he's getting ready to be sentenced in February for 20 years. And this guy got born again in my ministry, and his life began to change. God did a miracle, like loads of miracles. And I really like this guy. This guy's so likable. I mean, he's one of the neatest dudes in the world. And he's just got a likable personality. And I caught some hell for, like, putting him next to me on the front row. And people on Facebook were talking bad about me. And then I would just feel bad because I love people and I hate it when people talk about me. And Facebook is a great place to allow your fake friends to try to stab you. And I have 5,800 of them on there. So not everybody who's your friend is your friend. Can I say amen to that? And so I knew that Jesus was a friend of sinners. But then I talked to that guy because I watched God help him. And here's where a lot of us are at. I watched God deliver him. I watched God bless his business. And then he would get too busy because, you know, you need to go to the lake. You got the boat. You're in this racing gear. You're in that. And I talked to him because I don't put a lot of pressure on people. And I said, hey, man, I really sense in my spirit you're not supposed to do that. Man, you need to honor God. You got to get to church. It recalibrates you. And he didn't have time to do that. But I can guarantee you now that he's doing time, he's got loads of time. And he would love to give the time back to God that he should have given to God. Because the first dumb decision was not going to church. And then one dumb decision leads to another dumb decision. And you and I, left alone, will totally self-sabotage because our flesh is out of control. And you know what's out of control. You're not saying amen to me, but I know if you're breathing right now, you're jacked up. So you need somebody to look you in the eye on a Sunday morning and say, yes, I'm proud of you that you came to church, but the stats are that you only come one of every three because people are not committed. So it's not just about going to church for you. It's about that thing that I told you a minute ago that I said, who is it that prayed for you? And you know who that person is. And maybe they're not even alive right now, but they're in heaven. But because they're in heaven, it makes you want to go to heaven. And here's the danger. The only way I know to describe it is if you Ever poured like a really nice thing of, you know, soda, and you got your Coke in there, and then you put a bunch of ice in there, and a phone call happened or something stupid happened, and you came back 10 minutes later, and it's fuller than ever, but it's more diluted than ever. It has no fizz. It has no, it's the wrong color. Anybody know what I'm talking about? This is exactly what is happening to you right now. You're staying at church for an hour, hour and 5 minutes. You don't even stay for the closing announcements. You don't respect Pastor Drew when he comes up to make the call because you got to go. I got to go. I don't have time. But yet we go to the movie theater and we'll sit there for 2.5 hours and we won't leave if we see the deleted scenes of something stupid that our favorite star might do. And I'm not against the movies. I love the movies. There's probably not many movies that are out right now that I have not seen because one of the doctors at church gave me some kind of movie pass, and I can see movies for free. And so me and Nicole go there because if we stay home and watch movies, we do email. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But if we go there, we have to calm down. So it's 2 hours of freedom. I'm not preaching against movies. I'm preaching for you making a priority once and for all this weekend to say, I'm going to do what God called me to do. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to grow in church, not only for me, but future generations. And then I'm going to go in the world, and I'm going to tell my friends about it. You got seats in here? I'm doing all these services. My question is, when's the last time you invited someone to church? When's the last time? I'm in a hurry. I don't have time to go get them. I don't have time to go to lunch with people. I understand. So when the Bible says when you go to heaven, there's this chasm between heaven and hell. And part of going to hell, which by the way, when you're in jail, that's a form of hell. They tell me when I go see people in jail, they go, this is hell. And I go, hell. No, no, no. You don't really know what hell's like. This is not hell. This will be heaven compared to hell. But when they go to hell, they will look at you in heaven, and part of their judgment, just the way the devil is to look at you enjoying your life. There you are strolling around heaven, having a great time, doing all the things that God said you would be able to do. He said there's a mansions in heaven, and here's your friends who are in hell, and they're looking at you in heaven going, why didn't they tell me? I didn't even know they went to that church. God was actually dealing with me. Because everybody that goes to hell has to walk past a whole lot of signs. And you know as well as I do, there's things that God's dealing with you about. And there's something somebody said in a song. Something somebody, and you're like, God, is that you? I know it's you. Come on, raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. So we'll have to step over a whole lot of signs to go to hell. And so our friends are that way. Some of you watching right now, you're that way. It's easier to stay home and watch online. Yes, it is easier to do that because you don't have to brush your teeth. You don't have to talk to other people. You can hide behind a screen. But I'm telling you, the Bible said, forsake not the assembly. There's something about getting around God's people that brings the anointed God in your life to another level. Come on, somebody ought to help me. And you know you need this. If not, you're going to end up divorced. If not, you're going to end up broke. Nobody knows human behavior. I'm not bragging. But nobody knows human behavior better than a mega pastor. And I say that only because you don't understand the word gigapastor. I didn't either. But gigapastor is what I am. Anything above 10,000 is giga. But people understand through media, mega. So if mega knew a lot, what about a guy who pastors multiple mega churches? I see it. This don't work. It does not work to continue down the path that does not honor God. Because if you don't honor God, you dishonor God. But when you honor God, He honors you and He raises you up so we can not just hold the sign, but we can make a difference. Come on, somebody, and change the world, because that's why we're here, is to take hell-bound sinners and get them on the path of heaven. Certainly, I don't want my message to hurt anybody's feelings today. But you know what I wish I would have done to that guy? I wish I would have grabbed him by the shirt and pulled him next to me and said, listen here, you punk. You don't know jack about life. You don't know jack about where you're going. But you're on the fast pass to going to somewhere you don't want to go. I wish I'd have done that. Because yes, I can walk in jail, and he had never touched anybody that he loved in 2 Christmases, because they won't let you between those two columns. You're looking at glass, he's looking at glass. Except when St. Louis County is the training ground for all St. Louis County police officers are right here. So when I walked in, I said, I don't want to see him through the glass. I want you to bring him outside with me. And we're going to let him sit up in a chair like a man. And St. Louis County said, yes, sir, Pastor David. And so they just brought him out, and he said, quote, why, how in the H-E-double-L did you, how did you pull this off? It's because when you do what's right and you honor God, people honor you. And you can say, I don't want to talk to you through the glass. So I did what I could and love on people and pat them so they feel the physical touch of somebody they love. But I'm just here to tell you that that's not hell. County jail is not hell. Prison's not hell. Hell's hell. And we don't know nothing about hell except we don't want anything to do with it. And I don't want anybody to live like afraid, like you one of those hell preachers. I don't preach on, you know, your skirt's too short. You shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. I'm not a no preacher. But I must tell you, morally, you need to think about it. There needs to be a respect for the Lord. There needs to be respect for His house. And you need to respect His house. Because it's what equips you to keep the unity and the bond of peace. One last scripture before I go. This is what I'm talking about right here, and here's the Bible for it, verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. If you go down to the bottom, it says, so we would no longer be children carried about with every wind of truth. So when you go to church and you hear somebody preach what I just preached to you, then you're not carried by the doctrine of Oprah. And I love Oprah. She's a wonderful woman. But Oprah, I'm not going to take my cues on where I go to heaven or hell on their many paths to God. I'm not going to take my cues from any Hollywood people. I'm going to take my cues from people who have spent their lives searching out the scripture, and I would rather take my cues from your mama or your grandmama because they're in heaven today than take it from the world. And the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, the fivefold ministry gift, that's what I operate in. I operate in that to help you keep your train on the track because your kids matter. And by the time you leave and go to heaven, do you realize how deluded their soda will be? Because they think like the world, they act like the world, and they walk like the world because all you've ever given them is the world. But when you bring them here, those little kids are being taught in a room right now that they just spent $300,000 fixing up. That's a jacked up room right there. We didn't have that when I was a little kid. We had funeral home fans and flannels that we put on the wall. Come on, somebody. We didn't have that. So we're doing everything we can to invest in your kids. But it's not enough just to say, here's another iPad. Here's another phone. Here's another. People, kids need you to bring them here. Even if they don't want to come here, you go. Here's the speech. You remember it. As long as you live in my house. Come on, raise your hand. And you sleep in my bed, and you're watching my TV. Let me tell you right now, you're going to obey me. Anybody in here old enough to remember this right here? And I want to tell you that this is going to hurt me more than it's going to. Man, that's a long bell. Going to hurt me more than it hurt you. And then they say, hey, and then they start hitting you, right? Anybody ever been hit with a bell? I'm not saying we need to do this. I'm just saying what happened to me. So my daddy would run around, and this has hurt me more than you. And I would be like, what is he talking about? I'm crying, screaming. He's having the pleasure of hitting me. But you know what? I'm glad he did it. Because he did it, I don't cut across people's lines. I don't throw trash in people's yards. And I respect people. And I love people. And I love all people. My dad taught me that all people are created equal in the image of God. And now we've even taken that further. And I'm just here to tell you today that I love you and I'm proud of you. I'm proud that you came. It's like, why are you whipping me? I'm here. Well, you're here most of the time, but you're not here all the time. And if one kid got a whipping, how many of y'all know everybody gonna get a whipping? I done got my belt up. You know it's a jacked up sermon when I'm up here like, I'll get you. I'm after you right now. Raise your hand right now if you know that the Lord is dealing with you about getting in a closer relationship, that you know that you need to be closer to God. Stretch your hands toward me. I want to pray for you. God, we come to you right now, and we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness. God, you didn't have to die for us, but you did. God, church is not optional for us. Growth Track's not optional. We've been here in Growth Track, connect with God, connect with people, discover our purpose, make a difference, and some of us haven't done it yet. Today's the day we're going to do it. Today's the day we're going to stay for the whole service. We're not going to run out. We wouldn't do that in a movie. And God, you see it, you record it. God, I pray right now that there's a new fervency on the inside of us to serve you, to obey you. We hate doing that habit. Why do we keep going back to that same thing and abusing that? We're doing it because we're not full of the Holy Spirit. We're not really attentive to the words of the Lord. And God, today's the day that we repent, We turn around and we head a new direction. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise.
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.